ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 13 सॉरी चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर 15 परशुराम द लॉर्ड्स वॉरियर इनकार्नेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। यतो यतोऽसौ प्रहरत् परश्वधो मनो निलौजा परचक्रसूदनः ततस्ततश्छिन्नभुजोरुकन्धरा निपेतुरुर्व्यां हतशक्कवादनाम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. Purport. In the beginning, when the army of the enemy was full of fighting soldiers, elephants and horses, Lord Parashuram proceeded into their midst at the speed of mind to kill them. When somewhat tired, he slowed down to the speed of wind and continued to kill the enemies vigorously. The speed of mind is greater than the speed of the wind. Hare Krishna. We are reading the pastimes of Lord Parashuram, who is on a transcendental rampage, killing all the Kshatriya clans, one after the other. And it is described how his killing was faster than the mind. He was killing at the speed of the mind. And when he was tired, he would kill at the speed of the wind. And we know many pastimes in the scriptures about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And about Lord Parashuram, here it is described how he avenged the death of his father and how he killed all the Kshatriya clans. There is also one very interesting pastime in the Ramayana, how even Lord Parashuram was humbled in one sense. We have the pastime of how Lord Ramchandra gets married to Mother Sita, and then Lakshman gets married to Sita's sister, Urmila. And then Bharat and Shatrughna get married to Janak's brother's daughters. And then after this wedding ceremony, they're all coming from Mithila to Ayodhya. On the way, they experience a huge tempest and everything becomes dark and there is a lot of wind blowing and everybody becomes afraid. And at that time, they see this huge personality, Parashuram, in front of them. His height is described in the Ramayana that he was twice as tall as all the others. He was double height, very tall. He was dressed in deer skin. And he had Parashu, the axe on one hand. And he had the bow on the other. Sorry, not the bow. He had one arrow in his other hand. And he had a huge bow on his shoulder. Matted locks. And he was standing in front. And he was well known to have killed many Kshatriyas. So Dasharatha Maharaj immediately, he offers respect, obeisances, washes his feet, respects him. But Parashuram is not in a mood to, receive respect or worship. At that time, he's in a very angry mood. His eyes are red. He turns to Lord Ram and says, I heard that you broke Lord Shiva's bow. I cannot tolerate. How can I tolerate some Kshatriya having so much power? So I challenge you for a combat. But I have this bow, which is Lord Vishnu's bow. Lord Vishnu has personally given it to me. And this is much, much more powerful than the Shiva's bow which you broke. Now, regarding the Shiva's bow, which Lord Ram broke to marry Mother Sita, that was kept in a huge casket or a huge box kind of thing. And 300 people were needed to push that. It was so heavy. And here is Lord Vishnu's bow, which Parashuram claims, says that it is much, much heavier than much, much stronger than Shiva's bow. So he challenges Ram that if you can string this bow, then I will be convinced that you are actually powerful. So Lord Ram offers respects to Parashuram and says, actually, you are very worshipable to us, but because you despise the Kshatriya class, I am compelled to show you my prowess. And then immediately, in an instant, Lord Ram takes the arrow from Parashuram's hand and the bow from his shoulder, and he easily lifts it, strings it, and puts the arrow on the bow and pulls it up to his ear completely, and then turns to Parashuram and then says, my dear revered sage, tell me, where should I shoot this arrow? I can't shoot it at you because you are most worshipable to us. And at that time, everybody is stunned. And Parashuram falls at the feet and he says, yes, I have actually now realized that you are the Supreme Lord. And he says, you shoot it at my heart because I have many unlawful desires in my heart. You shoot it at me. Very humbly he presents himself. And Lord Ram shoots the arrow in the sky. And just as the arrow disappears, Parashuram also disappears from that sight in the midst of all the... So this is the pastime is there in Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, which shows how Parashuram also was defeated. But who can defeat Parashuram? You know, the Supreme Lord himself, because he's the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So like that, this pastime is there. And here in today's purport and section, we are seeing how the mind is said to be very powerful, much, much more powerful than the wind and other things. And we know how it is impossible to control the wind. When Hurricane Katrina attacked, I remember we were all reading how the American army had told all the people to vacate the place. There was nothing the government could do to stop the hurricane. It's so powerful. Wind is so powerful. And Arjuna, he says, Arjuna could control the wind. When the world's biggest armies cannot control the wind, but Arjuna had that power. And the same Arjuna says, I cannot control the mind. Chanchalami mana krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayu riva sudushkaram. He says, my dear Krishna, my mind is chanchal. Chanchal means restless. I cannot control the mind. And Arjuna is saying this. Interestingly, Arjuna had actually a lot of control over his mind when he went to the heavenly planets. And Urvashi had come to him with a proposal to enjoy. Urvashi, you know, it was. Yeah. Arjuna had declined and he had given her the position of kind of mother's position. So that much control he had over his senses, that he could avoid enjoying senses. And such a person says, I cannot control the mind. So what is our hope? And Arjuna in this verse, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 34, is where he's telling Arjuna is telling Krishna that chanchal, very restless, it just goes from one place to another place. Sometimes we may think, oh, mind is restless like a child. You know, child is also restless. Child may keep going here and there. So we have to control the mind slowly. But Arjuna is clarifying, mind is not restless like a child. Mind is chanchalami mana krishna pramati. It is mad. The mind is mad. So how can you control a mad, restless person? And again, we may say, but mind is after all restless like a child, so we can, you know, pull it back. But Arjuna says, no, it is not simply restless like a child. It's not mad means, it's not simply mad, it is balavad. It is very strong. It's not like a child, it's like an elephant. Huge, very strong. So mind is restless, it is mad, it is balavad, very strong, impossible to control. Sometimes, you know, somebody may be very strong, restless, also mad. But we may think that by logic, by reasoning, by talking sweetly, we may negotiate and bring that person under control. But Arjuna is saying, chanchalami mana krishna, pramati, restless, mad, balavat, strong and dhrida, stubborn. Mind will not listen. Mind is very stubborn. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva sudushkaram. I can control the wind, but not this mind. Mind is simply impossible to control. And Krishna, he agrees with Arjuna in the very next verse, 35th verse of the 6th chapter. Krishna says, yes, my dear Arjuna, it's very difficult. But then Krishna gives a solution. He says, asamshayam mahabaho mano dunigraham chalam. Asamshayam, yes, O mighty armed Arjuna, undoubtedly you are correct. Mind is difficult to control. But he says, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena cha guhyate, by practice and by detachment. one can control the mind. So Krishna is talking about practice and detachment. We know basically detachment refers to saying no to sense gratification and especially following the four regulative principles which we have. And practice refers to Srila Prabhupada in that purport, Bhagavad Gita, very beautiful. Prabhupada writes in the purport very clearly. The first and foremost element of this practice concept, practice which Krishna is talking, Prabhupada writes, is hearing about Krishna. Like what we are doing now, and every day we have Bhagavatam classes. Hearing about Lord is the best way we can practice the process of bringing the mind under control. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport about this point, that how we should hear. We should hear with great faith and attention. The Bhagavatam confirms this also. Shrinvata shriddaya nityam grinatascha svacheshtitam kalena nati dhirgena bhagavan vishate ridhi. How should we hear about Krishna? Shrinvata, we should hear, but with faith that this transcendental subject matter, the sound vibration, is not different from Krishna. And we should hear with faith, not once in a while. Shriddaya nityam, every day we have to hear about Krishna. Very interesting. We have to hear with faith. We have to hear every day. And how should we hear? Grinatascha svacheshtitam. We have to hear with hard work. There is a lot of hard work involved in. We have to endeavor to hear. No? We have to be attentive and try to hear. Svacheshtitam. If we do that, if we hear with great attention, we are pulling the mind back and working hard to hear about Krishna, then with faith and regularly when we do that, kalena nati dirgena, in a very short period of time, Bhagavan vishate ridhi, Krishna will manifest in the heart. So this is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have to work hard in hearing. Because, generally when we think of yoga and spiritual paths, we think there has to be something very extraordinarily difficult thing to do. But the simplicity of Krishna consciousness process may fool us. Just hear about Krishna. This is, right now we are practicing yoga. This is a yoga session going on. Just hearing about Krishna attentively with faith actually purifies the heart. I remember one experience I had, one day, one of those rare occasions when I was actually sincerely trying to hear Krishna Katha, because my mind was disturbed. I had met one person who had changed his religion and he was very arrogantly fighting. So after that whole session, I got an opportunity to meet the leader of that particular fanatic cult. So they always spread blasphemy against Krishna consciousness and other Vedic scriptures. So some common friend had organized. So I was thinking, should I go and meet him or not? Because I knew he is envious. If the person whom I met was so envious, his leader may be even more envious. So I was wondering, should I meet him and should I give him, should I tell him that oh, he's spreading blasphemy, should I fight with him? So I was confused and I asked some of the authorities and they told me, we don't mind, you take a decision, it's your call, you decide. So I was more confused, what to do, and that day I said, no, I'll attend the whole morning program sincerely and then let me decide. So I was struggling, but during the morning program, Bhagavatam class was going on and the devotee was giving class. And he just made one statement, he said, that was not the main theme of the class. He was actually speaking something else. So while giving the class, he said, Madhyam Adhikari, Prabhupada said, Madhyam Adhikari is one, preaching is done by Madhyam Adhikari. And the Madhyam Adhikari discriminates. And when he said that, it was like an answer to my confusion. And I remembered how Prabhupada said, we should all become Madhyam Adhikaris. And Madhyam Adhikari is one who doesn't preaches to ignorant but innocent and avoids those who are envious. So it was like, Prabhupada wants us to be Madhyam. Then that gave me an answer. So I remember feeling that time that, just one day I was so sincerely trying to hear and understand. I practically got an answer to my dilemma. So if every day we are hearing sincerely, Krishna will help us. So this is very, very important, hearing attentively. Prabhupada writes in the Gita purport that this is the first and foremost method to keep the mind under control. And later on in the purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on honoring prasadam and hearing Krishna Katha. And there he writes, this is the best way to control the mad mind. The mind is mad by nature. So he says, this is the best way to control. But unfortunately, we see most people find it very, very simplistic. How can just hearing about Krishna, chanting, help us deal with the mind? In fact, many people give arguments that they are not interested in keeping the mind under control or coping with the crazy nature of the mind. People say, I remember two common arguments we get while preaching. People say, when you talk about how chanting Hare Krishna will make the mind peaceful, of course, that's not the goal of chanting Hare Krishna. The goal is to please Radha and Krishna. But if we try to make a person interested by this statement, people immediately say, no, my mind is under control. My mind is okay. And if you tell them to chant Hare Krishna, I've seen one person say very confidently, I always remember the God in mind. I always chant in mind. Actually, no, it's not. It is Manuratena Satyadhavato by people are riding the chariot of the mind. Actually, if somebody is remembering Krishna 24 hours a day, if he's actually doing it as he's claiming, then it will be very easy for him to practice the other part of the process which Krishna has said, practice and detachment. Detachment would be very easy. But we see that most of these people don't practice detachment. So they claim that my mind is peaceful and they will not. We have sometimes seminars, mind control seminars or mind. Nobody is interested. But if we teach how to control other people's mind, then people will be interested. Yeah. A lot of people will come, you know. Because people are confident, I am okay. My mind is in control. And also, this practice, nobody is interested. And there is a second aspect of the process Krishna has given. One is practice. Second is detachment. Saying no to sense objects. And I have seen people who are appreciating the process of Krishna consciousness. During book distribution, I met one man. He said, very good. You are chanting Hare Krishna, very good. All your principles are very good. But except that last one, no illicit sex. No, there is no problem. Enjoy sense gratification. I have illicit sex. And chant Hare Krishna also. Then he gave me an example. He said, see, just like every day you eat at home, you feel happy. But once in a while, you may want to eat outside. And you become more happy. So like that. So I said, wait. Let me run away from here. So people are expert in arguments and logic and, you know. But it's not like that. It's not that you engage a little bit of sense gratification and mind will be peaceful. No. In the second chapter, 62nd, 63rd verse of the Gita, Lord Krishna says it's very dangerous to subscribe to this philosophy. If you engage in sense gratification and contemplate, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangha Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodha Bijayate Krodhat Bhavati Sammoha Smriti Vibhrama Buddhi Nasho Pranashyati. All these steps are given. How we contemplate on sense objects, then attachment increases, then the mind gets bewildered, intelligence gets covered, then we become lusty, angry, finally we fall down. So it's not that you engage a little bit in sense gratification and then also practice spiritual path. No, when the moment we enjoy illicit, when we our enjoyment is not bona fide, when we actually enjoy like that, we become desensitized to the spiritual path. Now the taste for hearing chanting goes away. Devamrit Maharaj says, a little bit of brain substance goes away when we actually enjoy sense gratification. And we become dull. And that simplicity of the path, you know, hearing, chanting, the taste is not there. That's why it's not, see, if we enjoy, say, some unit, say, X unit, the material world, the suffering comes double of that. Whenever we enjoy, we are taking an appointment with Mr. Suffering. So whatever we enjoy, double impact suffering will come. They are two sides of the same coin. We can't get only enjoyment in material world. So when we enjoy in sense gratification, we become dull. And we are not able to actually appreciate the simple processes like hearing, chanting, taking part in kirtan. We become very dull and desensitized. So therefore, the scriptures prohibit. So they teach us detachment as well as practice. Practice of hearing and chanting. Both have to go on simultaneously. So therefore, a devotee has to understand, we are not mind conscious, we want to be Krishna conscious, we want to please Krishna through our chanting, through our hearing. At the same time, we have to know that we have to deal with this mind, which distracts us from Krishna. And we can't underestimate the power of the mind. And we have such powerful examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam of a person who was completely bewildered. We have the case of Ajamil. Ajamil was not some low-class person who was, you know, hunting after prostitutes. No, he was a very cultured man. His qualifications is described in the Bhagavatam. Ayame Shruti Sampanna Shila Vritta Gunalaya Dridavrito Mridurdanta Satyavan Mantra Vissuchi Guru Agniyatiti Vriddhanam Sushrushurana Hankrita Sarvabhuta Suhursadur Mitavanana Suyaka. It is described in the sixth canto that Ajamil's qualities, I think around 15 or 16 wonderful qualities he had. Shruti Sampanna, he was very good. He knew all the Vedic scriptures. Sheela Vrutta, he had excellent personality and very good character also. Some people may have very good personality, but their character may be flawed, fundamentally flawed. But he had both. Character was very strong. Personality was good. Gunalaya, he was an ocean of good qualities. And he was Dridavrita. He was very determined to practice his religious duties. Generally, those who are determined, there were tendencies that we may become hard-hearted. You know, like very determined and tough. But he was determined. At the same time, Mrudu, he was very gentle. He had complete control over his senses. And Mitavan, he would speak very pleasingly. Anusuyaka, he was non-envious. And he knew how to respect and serve elders, guru. Guru Agni, Atithi Vriddhanam, Sushrushur, Anahankrita. He would serve without ego. And Sarvabhuta Sur Sadhu, he was friendly to all living entities. So like that, if you see how he was Satyavan, he was always truthful. Such nice qualities. And 15, 16 good qualities are there. I remember once in one program, I said, we are going to discuss a very wonderful personality from Bhagavatam. I didn't tell them which canto what. I said, I'm going to describe some qualities. You guess the personality. So I spoke all these two verses and then I mentioned the meaning of each word. So 16 qualities. So who is this wonderful personality? I asked. And somebody said, Rantidev. Somebody said, Ambarish Maharaj. somebody said, Shibi. You know, all these different examples people gave. So then when I said it is Ajamil, they were like shocked. And then the whole class, they were attentive also. So it's very interesting, isn't it? That Ajamil had such wonderful qualities. But what happened to him? So he saw a low-class prostitute and a Shudra embracing. Drishtva tam kama liptena bhuna parirambitam jagamaru shayavasham sahaseva vimohita. Drishtva tam kama liptena. He saw lustily a Shudra and a prostitute embracing. Bahuna parirambitam. They were embracing and they had each other in their arms. And jagama rishaya vasham. All lusty desires immediately erupted in the heart. Sahaseva. Immediately vimohita. He became bewildered. So this is how powerful the sense objects can just distract the mind of a very rigorously practicing sadhaka also. And then what happened to him? Is it that he just gave in to the senses pulling, the mind pulling him? Did he just surrender? Okay, let me just engage. No, he worked hard. Stambayam atmanatmanam yavat satvam yatashrutam na shashaka samadhatum mano madanave pitam. Stambayam atmanatmanam. He used his intelligence to control the mind. Yavat satvam yatashrutam, based on what he had been learning from all the Vedic scriptures. Na shashaka samadhatum, but still he could not get peace. Mano madana vepitam, Cupid had just stolen his mind away. So Prabhupada writes in that purport how it's a very challenging situation for a brahmachari student, how everywhere this thing is happening. At that time it happened in the forest, now it's happening everywhere on the street. And they call it a very dignified term, they call it as PDA, public display of affection. So that is, public display of affection is going to be legalized. So you're going to see, everywhere you're going to see this. So Prabhupada writes, but if we practice these two principles, practice and detachment. He says, if we practice the four regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna sincerely, then we can somehow survive. We can continue. So this is Prabhupada writes in that purport about practice and detachment. And Ajamil's situation went from bad to worse and he was struggling with his mind and intelligence. And then he started remembering this prostitute at home. Tanimitta smara vyaja griha grasta vichetana tameva manasadhyayan swadharma viraramaha. Manasadhyayan, his mind was constantly contemplating on this prostitute. So Sukadeva Goswami says griha grasta vichetana, just like a planet is sometimes covered by eclipse, or you know that that is griha grasta, so there is an eclipse that covers the planet. Similarly, his intelligence was eclipsed by his mind's desires. And then what happened? Tameva manasadhyayan, constantly was remembering her only. And swadharma virarama, and he gave up all his occupational duties which he was performing. And then he became desperate to get her, and then he started pleasing her. Tameva toshayamasha pitre nartena yavata grameer manorameer kameer prasideta yata tata. So whatever money his father had earned, Pitre Narte Nayavata, all that money he used to please this prostitute. Gramer, Manorameer, Kamer, just to enjoy material pleasures and please her somehow or the other, he gave up everything else. So the Bhagavatam is very vivid in describing how we cannot underestimate the power of the mind. We have Narad Muni also explaining this to Prachini Barishad. He gives two very striking examples about how a sadhaka has to be careful not to allow his mind to go into sense gratification. He gives one example of a hunter who has captured a tiger, and if he's little inattentive, as he has put the tiger under that nest, and if he's little inattentive and loose, the tiger will pounce on him and kill him, and he will himself die. Yes, caught the tiger, but he will himself be killed by the tiger if he's not careful. Similarly, we may be, as sadhakas, now we know the dangers of the uncontrolled mind. So we may be practicing sadhana bhakti, but if we are not careful, the same mind can degrade us. The second example Narad Muni gives to Prachini Parishad is about wife, an unchaste wife having many paramours. So if the man is loose and allows the paramours to mix with his unchaste wife, then those paramours will come together and kill the man, kill the husband himself. So similarly, the Narad Muni is saying that if we allow the mind to roam on the sense objects, eventually a time will come and all this will take the soul completely away from Krishna. So like this, dangers have been described, but the process also been given. Very simple. Listen attentively. Hear about Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada himself taught how we have to listen. Actually, there is one conversation where Prabhupada says, the easy way to control the mind, three techniques to control the mind. Listen, listen, listen. Conversation. Just listen to the holy name. Listen. Just hear the holy name and we are chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada himself taught this through his own example. Many conversations are there where Prabhupada says, chanting Hare Krishna very easy. Where is the situation of mind? Just listen to the holy name. And once while conversing with one disciple, the disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, my mind is very disturbed and so much services and so many things happening and I get disturbed. And I'm in a lot of anxiety. Prabhupada said, yeah, that time you should chant loudly and clearly. Pronounce clearly and listen to the holy name. So Prabhupada explained to him this. And after some time, some minutes, sometime later, Prabhupada got a phone call. And that was regarding the Juhu land issue. Mr. N was troubling Prabhupada. So that phone conversation went on for some time. And Prabhupada was very intensely conversing. And then Prabhupada kept the phone down. And Prabhupada was actually kind of transcendentally disturbed because so many issues were going on. So Prabhupada just sat and took out his beadbag and started chanting very clearly and loudly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada practiced what he had just preached a few minutes before to his disciple. So listening and pronouncing clearly is the best way to make the mind cooperate with our desire to serve Krishna. That's why Burijan Prabhu in his book, Japa, what a brilliant book. And you know, the way he has analyzed the nature of the mind. And then he says, just listen to one Mahamantra. Not even one Mahamantra at a time. Because when we tell the mind, just listen to one Mahamantra at a time, the mind will go and start planning for the next Mahamantra or the next round or the previous round, he'll contemplate, you know. He says, just this Mahamantra, just listen. And he gives his own example how when he was a brahmachari in Tokyo temple as a young brahmachari, one day he caught himself listening to the Mahamantra and he experienced so much happiness and he felt nourished. So it's such a simple process. And personally I have struggled, and I know some of my other friends also, we have struggled because we become so conscious of everything else except the holy name when we are chanting. Especially I become very conscious of the time, very time conscious. You know, okay, now 15 minutes are there, I can complete two rounds and then I can do something else. While chanting also, okay, 8 rounds, how much time is gone? So it's like, you know, we are with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and looking at the watch constantly. If you are with a very important person and the person is giving an appointment and when you're talking to him, and when he's talking to you, out of his causeless mercy, he's given an appointment, and as he's talking to you, you keep looking at the watch. What will he think? He'll think, if you're not interested, I will leave before you. You know? So if I'm chanting and I'm constantly looking at the watch, how fast I have to finish my rounds, then Krishna will leave that chanting before I realize. So I tried this, you know, I just forget the watch, forget the clock. Okay, I'm going to chant now attentively. So it's so nourishing and so satisfying actually. Otherwise, mind can, it's a bizarre world, crazy world. So many issues are there, so much planning has to be done, so many things have to be done. But during chanting also, if we do that, we'll go crazy. Actually, there is a pastime in the Lilamrit, how one hippie, when Prabhupada was giving a lecture, one hippie got up and started shouting, my mind, he started screaming, my mind is troubling me, and he was crying, you know, my mind. Prabhupada heard him, and Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. So, he had actually quietened down, and he was just sitting, and then Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. And he looked, and when he heard that, again he screamed, but my mind is troubling me. He went on for a few minutes, and then after he stopped, again Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. This is the best process. Again, that man was quiet for a few seconds. And again, he started screaming. This happened 2-3 times. And then finally, Prabhupada, in a very grave voice, he said, I'm sorry. This is the only thing I have. Holy name of Krishna. Just take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada had tears of compassion in his eyes. Because such a process is so simple. Just chant Hare Krishna. Listen to the holy name. Otherwise, this world can make us crazy. What actually happens when we listen to the holy name, devotees have explained, is not that we suddenly get dreams of Krishna or we become, you know. What practically happens with when we lead a life centered on the culture of chanting Hare Krishna attentively, Krishna reveals to us our own anarthas, our own shortcomings, and we can face them and work on them. And that actually brings about humility. Because if our deep-rooted tendency is it's non-Krishna conscious, it's a desire to be the enjoyer and controller, then all the techniques will eventually fail. It's a false ego which has to be, you know, worked upon. And we have many examples in the scriptures of how people, they may not be like Ajamil, they may actually be innocent, simple, and they may actually be having a very nice service attitude, everything is going on nice, but by wrong association, the mind can create havoc in our lives. One classic example I can remember is in Ramayana, when Dasharath decided to coronate Lord Ram as the prince regent, everybody was happy, including Mother Kaikeyi. Mother Kaikeyi was very innocent, actually. She was very happy. But Mantara, what amazing, you know, she has a very crooked plan, because Mantara feels if Ram becomes the king, Kaushalya will get special treatment and Kaikeyi will be ignored, and she was the servant of Kaikeyi. So she thought she will not get all the facilities. So she goes to Mother Kaikeyi and starts telling her, what nonsense, you are a stupid lady. And Mother Kaikeyi, look at her innocence. She actually, when we hear blasphemy, we are supposed to leave the place or we are supposed to defeat the person. And Mantara comes and tells Kaikeyi that Dasharatha has deliberately sent your two sons, your son Bharat and Shatrughna, to King Kushadwaja's kingdom, who was the... But Dasharatha sends both of them to their in-laws' house. And the next day, he announces about Ram's coronation. So Mantara, she says, this is a evil plot. Deliberately, he has sent your son away so that he can get Ram. And he wants to coronate Ram immediately. So your husband... So then she gives an example. Mantara gives an example. She says, kings and emperors are very good in speech. They speak very nicely. But while speaking very nicely to a person, they are actually planning to destroy that person. So Kaikeyi hears all this blasphemy, but she laughs. She says, no, Ram loves Bharat, and oh, this is perfect. Because what Kaikeyi's logic is, oh, Mantara has a habit of a very, you know, she has a sullen temperament, she is moody, and sometimes she speaks like this. She doesn't have any malice in her heart. And she, in fact, gives her a diamond necklace as a gift. Mantara throws it away. And she says, you don't understand. And then she catches that point of, you know, competitiveness between the queens. She says, Kaikeyi, when Ram becomes the king, Kaushalya will get better treatment and then you will be ignored. So she catches that point. And then the arguments go back and forth. Discussions go on. But by that long discussion, slowly, Kaikeyi's mind starts wavering. You know, she starts feeling, Mantra is maybe right. And as she's, and Mantra notices that her mind is now been poisoned. And she is actually confused. At that time, Mantra holds Kaikeyi's hand. And she says, see, I'm speaking in your best interest. I'm your well-wisher. So then Kaikeyi actually starts getting convinced. And then Mantra tells Kaikeyi that as long as Ram is here, Bharat cannot be king because Ram is very popular. You ask for two boons. Then she reminds Kaikeyi how Emperor Dasharatha had given her a choice once. She had helped Dasharatha Maharaj in a battle between the demons and gods. So Dasharatha Maharaj had said, I'll give you any two boons. So Kaikeyi had said, I'll ask some other time. So Mantra reminds her, now is the time to ask these two boons. Banish Bharat, banish Ram to the forest for 14 years and make Bharat as the king. So Kaikeyi says, okay, I'll immediately go and ask these boons. Mantra says, no, don't go to the king. You go to your sulking chamber, that Kopagraha, and then you just lie down there with your hair disheveled, clothes, you know, all the jewelry thrown, and just make, you know, throw tantrums and demand this from the king. And to give her confidence, Mantra gives exactly opposite of what she told in the beginning. In the beginning, she told Kaikeyi that your husband doesn't love you, and you know he actually is plotting against you. But now that she sees, Mantra sees that Kaikeyi is confident that you know she wants these two benedictions. So then Mantra tells Kaikeyi, your husband actually loves you. So if you demand this, he will give you. So she gives her confidence that you know he is, the emperor is completely you know attached to you, infatuated by you. So ask for this. So then Kaikeyi gets convinced, and then she goes to the sulking chamber, and the whole pastime takes place. Dasharatha comes, and when Dasharatha tells her that I will give you whatever you want. Why are you so miserable? You know, and then she says, do you promise you will fulfill all my desires? You will fulfill my boon that I asked for. And Dasharatha Maharaj says, in the name of Ram, whatever you ask, I will give. Thrice he says that. So once she has Dasharatha Maharaj in her control and everything is done, and then she says, okay, you know, banish Ram and make Bharat. And Dasharatha Maharaj is completely baffled. Utter disbelief, he just looks at her, and then he falls at his queen's feet and begs and pleads. But then the whole Ramayana pastime takes place. Although we know this is the pastime, but from a sadhaka's point of view, we can see how Mother Kaikeyi, who actually had very good intentions, but by associating, how the mind completely bewildered her. So we have Kali's agents are there, so many blasphemous websites, internet, you know, just associating with the wrong kind of people. That can poison our consciousness and destroy our faith against sincere practicing devotees. So this is very, very powerful. Therefore, we have to know that the mind is an enemy as we are practicing sadhana bhakti, and we have to be alert. And that we can do by chanting Hare Krishna. And especially one of the biggest challenges we devotees have is because we are always doing things. So while chanting also, we want to do things, you know. We want things to be in control. Actually, that is the time when we have to take shelter of Krishna. I remember one experience I had recently. I was traveling from one village to Jagannath Puri in Orissa. We were going in a car. So, you know, early morning, and I was chanting, sitting next to the driver. And as the car started, I came to know that this driver had not slept the previous night because he was so busy driving. And I became scared. I had the mala in my hand. And now we were to drive 4 hours, and the roads are not good there. And the driver was driving at 80, 90 kilometers, and overtaking, and sometimes bumpy roads, and some cars would come in the front, a narrow road, and last minute he would turn and overtaking. And I was like, so I was chanting, but my comfort while chanting was in the fact that we are safe. I was like, I was not driving the car. I was in the next seat. But while chanting, my comfort was that, okay, we are safe now. I'm in control. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was chanting. And I would occasionally look at the driver to see if he's still awake. And he was cool, you know. He was driving. And I was so scared. And then, actually, what could I have done at that time? I was chanting. And as I was chanting, slowly my counter bead was also going down. You know, it was moving down. And so many rounds are going by. But my focus was not on the holy name. But, okay, situation is in control, you know. How many kilometers we have already covered? How much to go? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But I'm not driving. I'm helpless. In a split second, the car could have dashed into the mango groves, which were there. Huge trees, or it could have, you know, crashed into a speeding car coming from the opposite direction. So many things could have happened, and I had no control over it. Just 1 second it needed, but I was like, okay, things are in control. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. At some point of time, by Krishna's mercy, I realized that this is wrong, you know. But then I decided I'll close my eyes and chant. And then initially it was difficult. And then if I don't, this is the best time to chant attentively. If I'm chanting attentively and we actually meet an accident, wow, that's like, you know, I may go back to Godhead. It was tough, very tough in the initial step. But then I actually tried. Hare Krishna, I was just focusing, trying to chant. And then I realized after some time, I remember feeling like, you know, a big relief. You know, I felt that big burden of trying to be the controller was removed from my head. For that, you know, that journey I was feeling at that time. Oof, somebody has removed that burden. And I was like, Hare Krishna, I was listening. And I actually felt nourished by that chanting. Unfortunately, the next day was again same chanting. I couldn't sustain it. But, you know, those few moments when Krishna gives us some experience, it's so nice. And then I remembered Srila Prabhupada when he was flying from Dallas to New Orleans one time in 1975. So suddenly the plane went, there was some turbulent weather, and then the plane started shaking in the air, and all the passengers started screaming, and even the overhead bin that contained, that they have a cupboard kind of thing where they keep the luggage, that opened, and things started falling, and many things, people were confused and screaming. But Prabhupada, even in the flight, he was focused on chanting. He was completely unaffected. No emotions on his face. He was just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And for a long time, people were screaming and the plane was in a very shaky condition. And then in between, Prabhupada turned to his servant and said, just, you know, with a slight irritation, what's happening? So Satswarup Maharaj writes, Prabhupada's irritation was like, you know, as if somebody's got his lunch prasadam late, or not a big thing, as if some big thing is happening. And then servant told, Prabhupada, the plane is, you know, shaking and we are in a very turbulent weather and anything can happen. Prabhupada said, acha, okay, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada had no sign on his face of anxiety. And then after some time, the plane actually landed safely. And after the plane landed and everybody was cheering and shouting, you know, all the karmis, all the people were there in the flight, they were all happy. But Prabhupada again was quiet, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada opened his eyes and looked at the servant and said, so the servant thought Prabhupada will give some purport now, you know, such a big weather and so many things happened and Prabhupada was chanting, so Prabhupada may tell us something about the holy name now. So Prabhupada opened his eyes, Hare Krishna. So how far is the temple from the airport? That was the only question Prabhupada asked. So he thought Prabhupada was completely oblivious to the external situation. He was focused on the holy name. So actually this internal connection to Krishna is what, through chanting of the holy name, is what will make the mind peaceful. And this is a method given in the scriptures. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, the 6th chapter, 26th verse, Krishna gives this, that yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astiram tatostat niyamaitat atmaneva vasham nayet. That as when the mind wanders here and there, just pull it back. Just listen to the holy name. And this is what even Sanatana Goswami writes in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, 6 steps to improve japa. One of the main step is this, mana samskaran, pulling the mind back. Just listen to the holy name, constantly. So, because we are not trying to be controllers, you know, ultimately, it's not that mind has controlled us for so many lifetimes, so now I will control the mind. No, that's first of all impossible. And secondly, we are not trying to be controllers. Our goal is not to control the mind. Our goal is to please Krishna, and mind is impossible to control. So what we have to do is we have to take shelter of Krishna. We have to pray to Krishna that, Krishna, you please allow me to serve you. You please allow me to engage my mind in your service. Gopinath, mane pagal mora, namane shasana sada achetanu vishayero eche ghora. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, my mind is mad, mane pagal mora. It doesn't listen to me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying like this. Sada achetan, it's always engaged in vishay, all the messy materialistic things. But Krishna, you are Rishikesh, anata dekhiya more. Gopinath, anata dekhiya more, tumi rishikesha, rishikadamiya, taraye samsmriti ghore. You are Rishikesh. You can control senses. Please remove me out of this material existence. So devotee, he turns to Krishna when he's feeling tormented by the mind. And he begs Krishna to relieve him from the suffering of material existence. So like that, we have to take shelter of Krishna. And that is our ultimate goal. Our goal of chanting is not to control the mind. Our goal of chanting is to please the transcendental senses of Radha and Krishna. So with that desire, in the association of devotees, let us practice this simple process of hearing about Krishna and listening to the holy names. And then we can also please Krishna. to this practice of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.